it is that time of year, if you are an employee, that you're being harangued by HR to sign up for your insurance. Then you have all those decisions. It's dental and how much deductions and whether you put in a self-savings account. It is a mess. But one of the companies that helps companies through that, but also individuals too, is a monster company. It's based here. Lockton Dunning's been around for a long time, but they're the world's largest independent insurance brokerage company, and they do benefits and help companies and find insurance. Steve Ido is the president and CEO and has been, for a year now? It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's coming up in a year. Not quite. So it'll be a year, January 1st.
So tell me about, first of all, this time of year. I mean, you guys have done all the work, I guess, getting ready for the point when all of us employees have to make decisions about insurance. Is it as challenging for you as it is for us?
It is, and it's because this time of year, we're moving on to our day-to-day clients. Like, they're now dealing with their customers, and that's their employees. And so this is the time of year when you enroll in benefits. Things get communicated to you. If there's changes, if you've changed the deductible, or if you've changed from Blue Cross to United Healthcare, or things like that. So you're communicating that, and you're trying to get them to understand it. And that's really a tale as old as time, because healthcare is incredibly complex, but not everyone understands it.
And you've got a dual role. I mean, on the one hand, you're trying to get companies to save money because it's a major expense. But also, you've got to make it attractive enough to sort of retain and recruit employees.
That's exactly right. And so what we have to do is help, because the financial concern is a big concern. You've got to demonstrate that you're getting the most efficient pricing. You're designing it from a risk financing perspective the most efficient way. At the same time, you're finding that balance to really, what do employees value? What do they want? I mean, does it helping you recruit employees? Is it causing you to lose employees? And so you have to really understand that. And the data points you in that direction a lot of different ways based on the industry you're in, or even the market segment that you're in.
You know, in anticipation of us speaking today, I went back in and refreshed my memory about Lockton Dunning, which is a name that's been around here, you know, forever. But I didn't realize the breadth. You've got over 12,000 people working for you. You operate in 140 countries. I mean, other countries don't have to go. I mean, they have like socialized medicine and stuff in other countries. They don't have to go through all this, do they?
No, they don't. And because you're right, a lot of them do have socialized medicine. But you make a good point, because the name Dunning has been around, you know, Dallas for a long time. And we merged with Lockton back in 1998. And we are part of this much larger global organization, that Lockton now is the largest independent privately held insurance brokerage firm globally. We have over 13,000 associates across the globe. We're in over 140 countries, and we're going to cross $4 billion in annual revenue.
And it's privately owned.
It's privately owned. We're owned by the Lockton family, and we're committed to that. The Lockton family is committed to that. And really, what we do, just again, from risk management, employee benefits, and retirement plan advice, we do it all.
You know, you bring out risk management. That's just fascinating to me, because there's so much going on right now, and even in the healthcare benefits, the age of Ozempic and weight loss, and that's supposed to be a big game changer. It's got to help people live longer. But it's got to change the dynamics of health plans, doesn't it?
It's a big focus, and that, you know, we refer to those Ozempics and all those as GLP-1s.
Yeah,
just the cost of them, and a lot of the data suggesting that, you know, you want to cover them for diabetes, and they were, you know, kind of expanded their purpose for weight loss. But what we have found is that when people take them for weight loss, most of them stop taking it after 4 months. They gain back the weight that they've lost, and oftentimes develop these comorbid conditions. And so, but it's not just GLP-1s, it's the whole pharmaceutical and drug industry of what's going on. And it's expensive. And you know, and it's with one thing probably in DC, I joke about that it's a galvanizing topic where both sides of the aisle agree on this. They agree that the transparency that's needed and the cost, it's just too expensive, and we've got to do something about it.
Well, cost has got to come down, and I think as more and more players get into this, the sense is that it will. But I'm surprised people stop taking it. Is it because, I mean, for weight loss, is it because of the expense and it's not covered? Because it would seem like, as a healthcare benefit, you know, while it costs more up front, getting people to drop about 50 pounds ought to help cardiac care and all sorts of things.
Well, a part of it, because it's an injection, so you take a shot once a week. But but you get awfully nauseous. A lot of people get nauseous, and that's a part of what the weight loss it does. You just don't want to eat, and you don't. Actually, they think it might cure alcoholism, believe it or not, because people don't even want to drink when they take it. But so I think it might change when they if they move it to a pill form, which they will do. That might people might stay on it more, but it's both those things. It's the injections and it's the nausea.
And it ought to bring it ought to. You'd think it would bring down the cost too if it could get it to pill form.
Well, maybe it's just the cost of the drug, though, and that's what because we just don't know because it's so early to really understand. Like you know, it's one like if you have the weight loss, maybe you don't you never become diabetic. Maybe you don't need that knee replacement or that back surgery. Yeah. Maybe from a depression perspective, productivity, like it's too soon to tell. But what we just know right now, based on the data, we're just not seeing people stay on it like they should.
You know, your industry is in such flux. I just think of what we've reported just over the last year, all the more, it seems like more hurricanes and floods. I mean, you have a hurricane that hits Florida that ends up flooding North Carolina. I mean, how do you cover insurance for something like that? How can you anticipate North Carolina being flooded because of a hurricane that hits Florida?
Yeah, you don't, and you're right. You're exactly right, David. I mean, you've seen you know the term of a 100-year flood or the 100-year storm. I mean, I think down in South Texas in Houston, they've had 200-year floods the last 5 years.
I know.
And in Florida, you're just seeing it, and just getting to a point where, I mean, that too, I think at some level the government will have to probably expand and step in with what they do for as a backdrop because that just the capacity in the insurance markets, it's becoming more and more difficult to even get insurance for a lot of if you're like a, you know, a big developer when you're doing, you know, multifamily or something like that. And just it's really hard to find that placement and you've got to really do it different ways. You access different markets, yeah. Like Lloyd's London, you know, you find a way to get it.
And then I think of, you know, the exposure for corporate America and individuals, too, but certainly corporate America for cybersecurity. They tell me there are two kinds of companies that have been hacked or companies that have been hacked and don't know they've been hacked. That's got to be an insurance nightmare, too.
That's exactly right. It's not a matter of if, it's when that you will be hacked. And then in keeping up with that, it's just then how do you mitigate it once if a breach happens, how do you mitigate it? And then do you have, from a risk management perspective, the right coverage in place to protect you when it does happen?
Is it insurable? Is it all? I mean, you can get insurance for such a thing?
You can. Yeah, that's a big market. That's been a fast growing market. But kind of like we're saying, like that too, that market's going to have to continue to evolve as these breaches become bigger and bigger.
And then I think about it, the insurance costs of geopolitical concerns. For example, this is the time of year when cruise ships that have been around the Mediterranean, the Aegean, and everything else start migrating out, and some of them go down to the Caribbean. But a lot of them go through the Red Sea and go around, and they go to Singapore, and they start, you know, cruising around Vietnam and Indonesia. But you can't do that. So these companies are having to divert and go all the way around Africa and have no income for a month. Is that insurable?
I don't know. I think you could probably insure anything at the end of the day, David, probably. So I'd say that it probably is. I just don't know how it's insurable yet. But I'm sure, I mean, you can insure anything.
So do you like operating out of North Texas? Is it a good central location? Because you're operating, like I say, everywhere.
That's right. I mean, we're on planes an awful lot. But yeah, but doing, I think, what I enjoyed, and Tom Dunning started this, Bruce Samus continued it. It's just being a part of this business community. I think just what Dallas and North Texas does and the leadership that's here through the Citizens Council, the Dallas Regional Chamber, it's just such a great business community that's been always so involved in making it the best place to do business and to work. And I think you're just seeing that from a growth perspective of what's happening with companies relocating here and wanting to do business here. I mean, shoot, I was reading something the other day that, you know, 24 of the Fortune 500 companies are here in Dallas. And I think that's just really cool. And it's going to continue to happen when you see our growth and just the story that we're continuing to tell in North Texas.
So I would guess it helps your business to be the companies are coming here because you operate virtually in, what is it, 140 countries.
Yeah, it does help. I mean, it helps because a lot of those decision makers are also relocating. When they come from California, they're relocating to Dallas. And so that helps tremendously. But also it's just, but Dallas is just a healthcare community. What we see, and this is the innovation and the things that drives and really these big wins for Mankind is what I call it. What you see, what comes out of UT Southwestern and Baylor Scott and White, THR, Methodist, I mean, HCA's here. And it's just a very vibrant, forward-thinking and forward-looking, innovative healthcare community as well.
And a big financial concern. I mean, you guys are downtown and you're being surrounded right now by all of the major banks from all of the United States of America are putting in facilities. So they're all coming to you, I guess. All right, well, look, let's get this this sign-up out of the way. Well, after we finish here, I'm going to talk to you offline about transitioning from what is it, United Health to either Cigna or Aetna? I hate this. Steve Ido is President and CEO of Lockton Dunning. It's good to be with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, David.
Thanks for more of a conversation. Go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.